Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
Good morning, everyone. As Father Tony Ernst said earlier, I'm Father Tyler Tenbarge, Vocation Director of the Diocese. When I introduced myself last night at Sacred Heart, because Father Tony wasn't there, when I got to the front, I did the sign of the cross, and I said, "Hi, everyone, I'm Father Tony 20 years ago." Pretty accurate, actually. It's good company to be in. My roles in the diocese are to help young men in particular, but also young women, find and follow God's vocation for them in their life. And we do that in several ways in our diocese. And I want to talk a little bit about that before talking about the faith that I've seen already here in Vincennes. So, from the vocations office, one of my jobs as vocation director is to help form our seminarians and accompany them along the way toward discerning their vocation, and ultimately, hopefully, if God is willing, for them to become priests. And so Aaron Herrenbrook is one of our guys. Actually, we're really proud of him. He's pretty cool, huh? He'll be giving a talk this week, Wednesday night, by the way, so everyone show up to make him really nervous, okay? Anyways. So we had, this past year, we had 12 seminarians for our diocese studying for the priesthood. Two of them discerned out at the end of the year, which is totally fine. If God's not calling them, they shouldn't be priests, okay? But if God is calling them, we want to help them get there. This coming fall, we'll likely have between 10 and 14. The guys haven't turned their applications yet, or they're still discerning. So a few more this fall. And we just ordained our most recent priest, Father Garrett Brown, who will be coming up here to Vincennes as soon as he gets back from his military stint out in Colorado. And I'm telling you this, and I don't say this about everybody, you guys are getting top shelf priest with him. He's incredible. He'll be great up here with Father Tony. And then in addition to our seminarians, I also work with our House of Discernment, which is called the Father Didier House of Discernment, named after the first priest who was sent from Vincennes when Vincennes was a city and Evansville was just some little bitty village. He was sent down there by Bishop Brute to start the first Catholic church in Evansville on the riverfront. And so we named our house after him to help guys discern. And so this past year, we had 5 guys living at the house while they went to school at USI or U of E, while they were also working part-time or full-time. The House of Discernment is kind of like a frat house, except without the parties. Parties are good, but without some of the aspects of those parties. And these young men, while they live there, they work or they go to school, and after a year, they figured out, should I go to seminary or should I not? And this past year, half of them have decided to go to seminary. The other half decided that God is not calling them now. Some of them are off to go date and get married, which is great too. We just want to help guys figure that piece out. So that's what the House of Discernment does. And the final piece of what I do is with our teenage guys. This program is called Savio, after St. Dominic Savio. He was a teenage saint who died young for health reasons. But he's a model because he lived the faith fully. We have about 65 teenage boys from 19 different parishes showing up once or twice a month for faith formation, prayer, food, and sports. That's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes we have even more than 100 show up. It's amazing. These young guys are hungry for adoration and mass and talks about the saints. They're hungry for sports and fraternity and to hang out with other good Catholic guys. So if you know a teenager, middle school or high school, might be interested, catch me after Mass. I'd love to help him get connected. This coming Friday, we have a big Olympic-style tournament to find out who's the most Catholic man. So we genuflection competitions and getting the gifts to the altar under a wire and that kind of stuff. Anyways, it'll be a good time. If you're interested, catch me afterward, and I'd love to tell you about it. So that's what I do. The reason I'm here is because starting this weekend, I'm going to start going to different parishes around the diocese once a month. I also have a parish in Evansville. So once a month, I'm going to go away from my parish to go speak about vocations in our local parishes. And I chose Vincennes first, and there's a reason. Vincennes is the birthplace of the Catholic faith in the state of Indiana. The birthplace. This was the very first diocese here. A bishop was sent on mission, a short guy who was balding, kind of like us two actually, from France, to come here and begin the faith, the church for the whole region right here on this riverfront, in this town. And because of that, so much has happened in this rich tradition in Vincennes. Father Anthony Didier was sent from here to go start the church in Evansville, which is now our diocese, now the seat of our diocese. Likewise, so many boarding schools and orphanages and good works of charity have started and have continued right here in Vincennes. One of the only two basilicas in the whole state of Indiana is here in this town. When Bishop Brute will likely be canonized, one day he'll have his feast day, it'll likely be last weekend, the 26th of June, the day he passed away, and he'll be one of the only two saints buried in the state of Indiana. And it's right here where he's going to be buried, right here. It's an amazing gift. Also, one of the main reasons I came here for my first one is because of all of the parishes in the Diocese of Evansville, guess which parish has had the most seminarians in the last 20 years? Yours. 5 seminarians have come from St. Francis Xavier Parish. Now all the parishes, or churches now combined. From all of that group of parishes, there have been more seminarians from here than from anywhere else. Holy Cross in Fort Branch, St. Mary's in Ireland, St. Wendell, those are all 3 pretty close, but this one still takes the cake. In fact, of the last 5 seminarians that you've had, 2 of them become priests, Father Gary Kaiser and Father Andrew Thomas. There you go. 2 of our last 18 priests have come from here in Vincennes. And on top of that, for the deacon program, you have a third of the deacons in the deacon program are from your parish. You guys are going to have an army of deacons here soon enough, which is a tremendous blessing to Father Tony and to everyone here. And then finally, because a few years ago, the bishop decided to move some priests around in our diocese, and he took Father Tony Ernst from my home parish, where things were flourishing under his leadership, and brought him up here. And I don't think that was an accident. Bishop Siegel knows what this place is capable of, and so he wants to put one of his best men here at the steering ship to make sure that this place is going in the right direction with so many good people and a strong history. Folks, the faith of Vincennes, it's rich, it's historic, and it continues to this day. The thing that's going to get in the way for you and for me is excuses. That's what will stop it, if anything. Excuses to following God's will. In the readings today, we hear actually 3 examples of excuses that are very common in my work as a vocation director. Each of the readings has a different one. In the first reading, the prophet Ezekiel is called by God to go forth to a people who God says are rebellious, are stubborn, and have an obstinate heart. Rebellious, stubborn, obstinate. They're not going to listen. Ezekiel, the prophet, could easily say to God, "You want me to waste my time by going to people who are not going to listen? I've got better ideas. Let's go to this group over here instead, or let's go to that community. Let's spend our money in this way," Ezekiel could have said, but he didn't. He said, "God, if you're calling me to this ministry, to this vocation, I'll go." One of the biggest excuses that gets in our way is thinking that our plans are going to be greater than God's plans. I mean, think about it this way. Whenever you're driving and you get to a stoplight and there's a homeless person or a person with a sign asking for money, and the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart and says, "Why don't you offer him that gift card that you got to the subway or whatever?" And then you have the second thought, "Oh, but I could save that money and give it to the shelter who I know for sure will provide resources for this homeless person. They should go that way. Or if I talk to them, then I'll waste my time and I've got to go this way with my time." We have all of these excuses of why God's will is less than our own. And so we dismiss him. When in actuality, God's will unfolds in beautiful timing. Now, trust me, I know that. The second excuse that we see in the second reading is from St. Paul. He has been called by God to go forth and take the gospel, the good news, to the people who are not Jewish, who have not yet heard about Jesus Christ. And as he tries this ministry, he recognizes that he's not perfect. In fact, he helped murder one of the very first Christians, Stephen, St. Stephen. He helped to stone him. So he calls a murderer, Paul, God calls a murderer, Paul, to go forth and preach the gospel. And Paul says, "Lord, I've got this past. I've got these habits. I've got this temptation and disposition that doesn't work. It's a thorn in my side, and I want you to remove it." In fact, 3 times Paul says to God, "Take it away. Make me perfect. Heal me." Now, we don't know what that thing was. Maybe it was a bad habit he couldn't shake. Maybe it was a relationship that he couldn't get reconciled. Maybe it was a memory of a past sin. And we have those too, don't we? We all do. I do. We all do. In fact, if you've got a memory of a sin that haunts you, maybe you've carried it around for a long time. Maybe you've taken it to confession and you know it's been forgiven because it was absolved, but it still weighs on you. Maybe that's because God has more healing in store for you. Ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. We cannot let our excuses of being weak or sinful or our pasts, we cannot let that stop us from doing God's will. Because St. Paul tells us that when we are weak, then God is strong. In fact, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Not our power made perfect in our weakness, God's power. And if God is calling you to marriage, single life, diaconate, priesthood, religious life, consecrated life, if God is calling you, He will equip you. Trust Him. The third and final excuse that I often hear as a vocation director, and that we see in the reading today, is from the gospel. Jesus finally goes back to His hometown. It should be a great celebration. He begins to start healing people. This man goes back to his hometown and starts healing people. And instead of them, of the people, saying, "Oh, wow," or literally, "Oh, my God," right? Instead of them realizing the miracles wrought in their midst, what do they say? They say, "Well, hang on a second. Didn't he date my daughter and dump her later? Isn't his dad the guy down the road who didn't make my bench perfectly? Didn't his mom beat my mom in the baking contest last week? Don't we know him?" That's what they say. They say, "Isn't he the son of the carpenter? Don't we know his cousins?" And they dismiss him. And because of their thoughts, because of other people's perceptions, other people's doubts, other people's thoughts, he's not able to work any mighty deeds there. You know, that's probably the single biggest obstacle or barrier, especially to a young man discerning priesthood. It's when they go to their mom or their dad and they say, "Mom or dad, I feel like God might be calling me to priesthood or something." And then mom or dad says, "You'll get over that." Or, "I want grandkids." Or, "Do you think you'll actually be happy?" And when mom or dad or aunt or uncle or a friend says those kinds of things, that excuse of what other people think, it stops a person from living the faith. And especially if it's a priest or a sister or a brother, it stops them from taking the faith to someone else, which is even more egregious. Folks, the faith in Vincennes has been alive for over 200 years, for as long almost as our country has been founded. The faith has flourished here. It was because people lived it, because you lived it, because your ancestors believed in the gospel and followed their call. Folks, I'm here this weekend to tell you that God is still calling this place, Vincennes, to greatness. And in fact, He's planting many seeds right now. Let's just not make any excuses.